When Jesus came out on the land, a man from the town who had demons inside him came to Jesus. For a long time, he had worn no clothes and had lived in the burial caves, not in a house. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and he said in a loud voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." He said this because Jesus was commanding the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had taken hold of him. Though he had been kept under guard and chained hand and foot, he had broken his chains and been forced by the demon out into a lonely place. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He answered, "Legion," because many demons were in him. The demons begged Jesus not to send them into eternal darkness. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a hill, and the demons begged Jesus to allow them to go into the pigs. So Jesus allows them to do this. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd ran down the hill and into a lake and was drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and told this in the town and in the countryside. And the people went to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind, because the demons were gone. But the people were frightened. The people who saw this happen told the others how Jesus had made the man well. All the people of the Gerasene country asked Jesus to leave because they were all very afraid. So Jesus got into the boat and went back to Galilee. The man who Jesus had healed begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Go back home and tell people how much God has done for you." So the man went all over town, telling about how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let me ask you a question. How do you deal with the demons in your life? Demons. Yes, demons. They're all around us, you know. They're always at work. They're always creating conflict and disruption in our lives. If you're like me, you're not used to thinking in these terms. We have accidents, mistakes, misfortune, but demons? Well, we're not so sure. That idea sounds kind of archaic, doesn't it? But is it really? You know, in our text, Jesus and the disciples arrive on the southeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Gerasenes after they are fresh from an experience where Jesus had rebuked a storm. A storm had come up on the Sea of Galilee, and he had lain sleeping. And when they wakened him, he calmed the storm and taught them about faith. Now, they come on shore, and they're soon greeted by another kind of raging storm. They encounter a wild-eyed, naked man throwing off broken chains and shackles and screaming. And this man sees Jesus and immediately recognizes him, and he yells, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" This man is known for his depravity. He's known for his screaming, his behavior that can't be controlled. They have guards assigned to him, and it's the guard's worst nightmare to try to keep this man confined. But Jesus knows him. He knows him instantly. He commands the unclean spirit to come out of him. In response, the man yells, defiant, yet aware that something different is happening to him. We can imagine him, body stiffened, fists clenched, and eyes squinted shut as he says, "I beg you, do not torment me." Jesus looks at him. "What is your name?" Jesus knows that the demons raging inside this man fear his power. They would rather be anywhere than in his presence. And they beg him, "Cast us into those swine over on that field." Go, Jesus commands them, and when they leave the man, they rush into the swine, and the swine rush over the edge of the cliff and are lost in the sea and drown. The meaning of that has some tremendous pieces to it in a way. It really does. Swine, pigs, were considered unclean by the Hebrews. They were declared so in Deuteronomy 14, where the people were commanded to neither eat nor even touch pigs. Now, the Gerasenes were not Jews, so they valued their pigs. This is a way of living. And so when these pigs ran over the cliff, that was the loss of their way of living at that moment, the loss of their source of income. They were outraged. They ran to the city to stir up protests against Jesus. You know, were that happening in our time, can't you just imagine the confusion? Right away, the media would be on site, and pretty soon the thing would go viral all over the country, all over the world, and we'd be so focused on the loss of the swine, we'd never remember that the man was involved, or Jesus. Is that not true? What did happen to this man? He was now free of demons. This man who couldn't even live in a house, who was living in the tombs, homeless, detested, feared, what happened to him? He becomes calm and rational and grateful. The trouble is, he was surrounded by people who were so afraid now and stirred up and angry at Jesus. He could easily have become a target for their anger. And notice that Jesus does not rescue him by putting him in the boat with him and taking him away. But he gives him a challenge. Return to your home, he said, and declare how much God has done for you. Become a witness. And isn't that what God always asks us to do when he steps in? So that's the story of the man healed of demons. What does it say to us? Remember, I asked you when I started out, what do you do with the demons in your life? What this means to us is that we are all affected by demonic forces. Sometimes those are large-scale, dramatic things that are obvious, that command your attention no matter what. Just this past week, over 100 people either killed or wounded by a terrorist in Orlando, Florida, who broke into a nightclub and opened fire on people, picking them off. Was this man demon-possessed? Nobody asks that. The word demon is defined as a devil or an evil spirit, a person or a thing regarded as evil or cruel, so forth. Now, we like to make it sound a little less threatening, a little less severe, don't we? So we don't say it that way. We playfully masquerade as witches and devils at Halloween. With a wealth of psychological and sociological data at our fingertips, we find it tempting to simply explain away everything. We explain away the evil. But it does not take away the power of evil. I believe that what happened in Orlando, and you can name other places where we've seen these things in recent times, was an evil act of a man lost to himself and lost to his world. He was a man, as far as we can tell now, of conflicting reputations. He was a security guard, and his co-workers could not believe that he was now the perpetrator. His father said that that can't be him. He's not that kind of person. His wife, however, spoke of him as an abuser who was mentally ill and emotionally unstable. We don't know much except the speculation that we hear. The FBI is investigating. Sometime we may learn more about who he was, what motivated him, but the fact, it doesn't matter, because this is what we know. what he did was demonic. Are there demons in our world? Yes, there are. What he did was evil. It was violent. It was cruel. That's one expression of demonism in our time that we see repeated frequently. So yes, if you look for demons, you can find them in some big picture things. But there are other expressions of evil that sneak up on us and take us over by surprise. I was driving to my weekly clergy breakfast on Wednesday morning and tuned in to NPR, and I heard an interview with a drug rehab counselor who was talking about the problem of prescription medication addictions. He got to talking about a whole slew of things related to that, centered around the tendency we have today not to treat and deal with the underlying condition, but to remove the symptom. If you have pain, let's take away the pain. Let's not find out what caused the pain. And the more you use the medication to relieve the pain, the more the medication takes over in your life. I decided to check that out online. I found out that most addictive prescription drugs that are available today on the market serve a very good short-time purpose. They have a purpose, and they can be blessings. But they become addictive by the way they can affect the brain and central nervous system. These drugs include opioids, depressants, stimulants. We may all have some of that somewhere in our medicine cabinet. I found a list of several commonly prescribed pain meds and the effects they have. I knew every one of them. I knew what they were. I've heard of them. I've known people to take them. Some of these things treat panic and anxiety with a fast-acting sedative that creates such a lasting, relaxing effects that people just don't want to let go of it. Some sedatives produce highs similar to alcohol and drunkenness and talkativeness and relaxation similar to alcohol occur. One commonly prescribed expensive drug creates a euphoric state very much like heroin. And people become addicted to crime to keep their habit going. They resort to crime to keep their habit going. With some drugs, people develop a tolerance, and that causes an increased dosage, and that causes a situation where to break off of it, you can become extremely violent. One drug used to treat coughs can cause altered levels of consciousness. Some of the most dangerous are those used to skip sleep. You want to drive a long way, you take a pill till you won't go to sleep. But they create something within your system that focuses you on a high degree of tentativeness and alertness that overcomes other things, becomes a problem over time, especially when mixed with other medications. One common stimulant used affects the central nervous system by increasing the hormone dopamine, which heightens attention and becomes highly habit-forming. You see, demons can possess us when we're dependent on substances like these so that they overtake our sense of identity and rationality. Jesus asked the demoniac, "What is your name? Who are you?" He said, "Legion." Mark, in his gospel, adds to it, "We are many." He had lost his identity. He didn't know who he was. That's what demons do. They use that as a portal into our lives. Perhaps more commonly, our demons, however, are smaller, more subtle things that we might call by other names: inconveniences, habits, misfortune, poor choices. That's the problem. But we may be wrapped up in those things. A commentator on this passage in Luke writes, If we're honest, each one of us could say, "My name is Legion." We are a mysterious mixture of genetics, geography, family of origin, personal choices, and God's providential care, all mixed up in one package. Our wisest guides insist that there are so many things we don't understand about ourselves. "I do not understand what I do," Paul confessed to his readers in Rome. In 1 Kings, the story is told of Elijah running for his life when Jezebel threatened to murder him. He ran to Beersheba and then farther into the desert. He sat her under a broom bush and bemoaned his life and wished he were dead. And an angel refreshed him with food and water. And God sent him to Mount Oreb, God's mountain. There God spoke to him, but with an unexpected voice. He went into a cave to take refuge because a powerful, destructive wind blew up and raged in that mountain. And then there was an earthquake that shook him in the cave, and then fire scorched the earth outside. Elijah's scared to death, and he sought the Lord in the wind, and he sought the Lord in the earthquake, and he sought the Lord in the fire, and God was not there. And finally, the turmoil ended, and Elijah went outside the cave, where a thin, quiet sound revealed the voice of God, loving him, calling him, and sending him on a new mission. Psalm 42 speaks of craving God with our whole being. Have you done that? With your whole being, everything in me wants God's presence. Thirsting for God at the center, in the midst of every circumstance that overwhelms us. You see, that is the answer to demonic legions that threaten to undo us today, just as surely as in Jesus' time. What do you do with demons in your life? What you do is to seek the presence of God. Remember the times when God has lifted you up, when God has given you goodness in the depths of your life, when by God's grace you have felt strong. Remember those times. And remember the times when you reached the end of your rope. "I can't bear this another moment." And you found that God was there, saying, "Trust me." And you did, and God came through. Jesus called the demoniac out of his pit of suffering, and when he responded, the demons left him, and he rediscovered himself and his life. God always loves us before and after, beneath and beyond anything that happens to us. God is not found in the wind. God is not found in the earthquake. God is not found in the fire. Instead, God is found in the whisper of grace that is always under all of that, always there, never failing. What do you do with demons in your life? You dismiss them. You turn to God and give him your trust and you let him realign your life, realign your spirit, realign your thinking, your soul, your being. God's realignment is what happens by that whisper of grace in mind, body, and spirit. But you have to listen in the midst of the turmoil. Let me tell you a little story. Sharon and I were, as I said, in Hilton Head with a friend of hers, high school friend. They're celebrating 50 years now. A couple of friends were gathered there. Jennifer lives there, and she's been the secretary at Christ Lutheran Church for a little while, which has been a really good experience for her. Well, we had a great visit with her, and we were coming back, and we were driving up the highway. We got into a little place called Hope Mills, North Carolina, about the time the gas gauge said, you probably ought to think about this, and range 10 miles, it's time to stop. So we pulled in and filled up with gas, and Sharon looked across the field, and she said, well, there's a little restaurant over there. And this little restaurant was a kind of down-home country place. It was called Grandson's Buffet. She said, let's eat supper there, eat early. So we went over to Grandson's Cafe, Buffet, and we walked in, and you stand in line, you know, people are coming through, and they pay for the meal and go around and get the buffet. Well, several people in front of us, finally we got up, and the attendant at the cashier said to us, your supper's paid for, your meal's paid for. And we said, what? I'm sorry? She said, the people just ahead of you paid for your supper. Well, we couldn't imagine this. We don't know anybody in, I never heard of Hope Mills, North Carolina. I don't know anybody down there. Why would somebody do that? They don't know me, don't know Sharon. So we got into the buffet, and we saw the people, and I went over, and I introduced myself, and I said, I want to thank you for the supper. Can you tell me why you wanted to buy a supper? We appreciate it, but what was, and he said, oh, I'll tell you. He said, about 6 years ago, I had terminal cancer. I was given a year and a half to live, and I'm here today, and I'm healed by the grace of God. And I promised God that I would be open every day, all the time, if he wanted me to do something to reach someone for him. He said, I just know that when you came in the door, God said, buy supper for him. Well, that was such a refreshing thing. There's a person with a mission that came out of suffering through evil. And we got to talk with him after we ate, and we sat and talked a little bit. Sharon had to have a nebulizer treatment before we could travel on, and so we brought that in, and they let us sit there, and while we were doing the nebulizer, he came up and said, I know what that's like. You'll be okay. We talked a while, and we exchanged books for supper. We gave him some books. Isn't God wonderful? Look at the things he does. You see, God gives us the mission. And it doesn't come in the wind and the earthquake and the fire. It comes in the still, small whisper of grace that floats under all of that. And that's the answer. That's what you do with the demons in your life. Heavenly Father, thank you for the witness of so many people who remind us that all we have to do is trust you. It will be hard. We will suffer. Our hearts will break. But we are not broken. For you are always there. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.